Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Redskins take over out there at 29. Darius Geis in the backfield. Our first look at Paul Richardson. He and Dotson are the wideouts. This is Geis, first game action since the preseason opener last August in Foxborough against the Patriots.
Good job by the right side of this offensive line. It'll be left of your screen. Does a real nice job of running down the defensive lineman. Darius does a real nice job of finding the cutback.
Kenny Albert and Joe Theismann on the Redskins broadcast network last night. Just gets you excited. Football is almost here. It was even kind of cold out today. Like, it felt like football season is about to be here. The temperatures dipped down a little bit. We're talking about who was hot and who was not. I know Craig Hoffman, our beat reporter for the Redskins for 106.7 The Fan, was in Atlanta last night. And Hoffman is driven by the summer sales event at Lindsay Ford and lindsayford.com. He should probably also be sponsored by Carvel, because I know some of that was going down last night. Craig, what's up?
Oh, my God. Carvel's the best.
I'm jealous. Your pregame meal and the ice cream, like, how good was that trip?
It was amazing. I mean, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium is probably the nicest stadium in the NFL. If not, it might be Minnesota, which we get later this year. But they probably don't have Carvel. But they now have about, 2 months' notice? So let's go Minnesota. Let's go Thursday Night Football. Let's get it together. I also did ask Redskins PR if Dan Snyder had taken a lap around and taken some notes, and apparently the answer was truly actually yes. So hopefully some of that gets into FedEx, and it's not just notes for whatever new stadium eventually happens.
I can't wait until that happens. Good stuff. Let's get to your takeaways now that you've had, a little less than 24 hours to digest what you saw in Atlanta last night. Where do you sit with everything? We'll start with who impressed you the most.
Darius Geis. I mean, He looked like him, and that wasn't a guarantee to come out there with the confidence and the physicality and running like he did. He showed us just about everything, and that was awesome. I mean, we've seen the breakaway speed in camp on a couple of runs, so I know he's still got that in him, the ability to run away from people, but to get out there, not be afraid, you know, his leg gets twisted up on his second carry a little bit and pops right back up. Not worried about it. No qualms about going right back in and taking carry after carry, being involved in the passing game a little bit. He showed it all last night, and that was, to me, the most impressive thing. I think Landon Collins was also really impressive last night. He has been terrific so far. And now, granted, it's the preseason, it's limited, but he has shown some things that I think change this defense, not only down around the line of scrimmage where he's making play after play after play, but over the top. Last night, he nearly gets an interception as a single high safety. So he's been awesome. Geis has been good, and obviously those two things are critical if they want to be successful this year.
Yeah, and I think I either heard you say it or tweeted it, but after the game, nobody was really talking about Dwayne Haskins, but that probably was his best preseason game so far, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's gotten progressively better, but it just wasn't anything special, and there still are some bad misses in there, but I think at least he was making good decisions last night. I haven't had a chance to go back and watch the game yet, and there's only so much you can see on the game broadcast anyway, because we don't have the All-22 access in the preseason like we do in the regular season from the NFL as media members. So he makes the right read, for instance, down in the red zone, trying to hit Steven Sims on that speed out, but he misses. That's a throw you got to have. That's points off the board. But he also has a couple of nice completions to Cam Sims. He had a couple of throwaways that he had to get. You always wonder about the protection. But he seemed to do a good job and really managed the game well. I mean, that game flew by last night. We could not believe when the first quarter ended. I got yelled at in the press box for commenting how quickly it was that I was jinxing it, but it really did fly by. And you know,
which
each guy
is
gets
good,
a half.
Because preseason games can be painful to watch, especially
absolutely
in that second half.
And night kicks for press members. No, look, nobody's nobody cares about our plights because we have awesome jobs, and I'm not complaining in that way. But they're late nights, and the less late they can be, the better. And so a game ending before 11 was a delight last
night, especially when you eat a rack of ribs before the game.
That rack of ribs put me into a proper food coma. I was napped and ready to go.
I still have the visual of your pregame meal in my head, and it's making me very hungry right now. So that was another highlight of what was hot and what was not. So let's pivot. How would you assess the left side of the line without Trent Williams last night? What were your takeaways from that?
You know, I thought Penn had a pretty solid night. I thought it was real. That's actually, to me, one of the most interesting developments from that game. Is Donald Penn plays exclusively at left tackle. Jaron Christian flips over and plays right tackle with the twos, and Penn just stays in there. So that was really interesting to me that they go ahead and basically say Donald Penn's our left tackle. They don't do that if Christian and Penn are still in a competition. You know, and from what we had seen before they shut down camp, you know, and returned to a regular season practice schedule where we don't get to see the whole practice this week, was that Penn and Christian were splitting time. And so that decision seems to be made. It's Donald Penn's job. He's not nearly as good as Trent Williams, but very few are. And that's, you know, also going to have an effect on left guard. And that job is still up in the air. Wes Martin had a penalty or two last night. He was, I think, overall better than Eric Flowers, who had a bad night. Some miscommunication that made some of the stuff look worse, where he thought one thing, but that's part of the gig. Like, you can't just be like, oh, well, he thought he heard something, so it's not like he actually got beat. No. The quarterback was still under duress. He still got beat, and the communication has to be there between he and Penn. So, Flowers, I don't think, was particularly good last night, and if Wes Martin can get close, I think they should give the job to Wes Martin because he seems to be the future there at left guard, and Flowers, well, I don't know, maybe has a little bit higher upside this season. I think it's negligible, and also you want to start to get him, Martin, those reps for the future.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seems like also to your point, you know, about how Penn started and played exclusively at left tackle, that maybe we can make the assumption that it's really not a quarterback competition anymore. It seems like even though Jay hasn't said publicly that Case Keenum is going to be the starter week one.
Right, and I asked him about that last night and basically said, look, Case is your starter. When are you going to tell us? And, you know, he kind of said, like, you know, we're going to watch the tape and we're going to go back. And I liked what Dwayne did,
like, we're
too.
Still playing this game? Come
right,
on.
And we know it's Case. He wins the job by default. Colt got hurt. Dwayne's not ready. And so Case, we know, is a competent NFL quarterback. I don't know if he's any better than that, but a competent NFL quarterback can win games in this league. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like he's a 4-12 quarterback, especially with this defense and this running game and some of the weapons he has around him. You know, they like their receivers. I don't think they, you know, they don't have any qualms about the fact that Jordan Reed is the best target they have. Like, you know, they don't think they have Randy Moss on the outside, but they have a bunch of dudes they really like at receiver and feel like they can move the ball forward down the field. And they obviously love their backs. And so, to me, their offense comes down to the O-line and Keenum taking care of the ball and then just letting, you know, letting the defense stay rested and letting them be dominant. And so there's a formula here where they win games. And I think that, you know, Keenum can execute that better than Haskins at this point. And so he's going to be the guy. You know, if they start losing a ton, do they make the switch? Yeah, probably. But for right now, you know, while they're trying to be competitive and they've got eyes on the playoffs and the staff is trying to save their job, then yeah, Case Keenum's going to be the guy. And then depending on when Colt gets back and is ready, that'll depend on who the backup is, you know, while, again, in the competitive part of the season.
Yeah, I wasn't really mad at what I saw from Case Keenum. There was that weird fumble interception, but I mean, I feel like that's something he can clean up, right?
Yeah, and that's the question is, like, okay, can he clean it up, or is that who Case is? Like, is he a guy that is going to make that mistake every single week, or is that a weird play where he just wasn't, for whatever reason, doing the thing that he normally is? And, you know, I think that tends to be more of that. He only had 9 interceptions last year. He can take care of the football pretty well. That's also how he's successful in Minnesota a year, you know, where they won 13 games. So if he can just take care of the football, and that play is just, that's bad from Keenum, and he knows it, and he completely owned it afterwards. So, like, I would tell him to his face, hey, dude, that was awful. And he'd go, yep. So, you know, he knew it immediately on exactly what he needed to do. And with all that in mind, like, I do think that Case is capable of being the game manager, so to speak, that this team kind of needs for the style that they want to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Where are you at with the Jordan Reed situation? Very concerning to me what we saw last night. And even heading into that game, I thought, you know, why does this feel like there's going to be a lot of three and outs for this offense? This team has got to find a way to get Jordan Reed the ball. And then that hit comes, and I'm just like, oh, no. Not only for the Redskins' offense is it a concern, but I'm also very concerned about Jordan Reed as a person and his health. Where are you at with all of that?
Really concerned for Jordan. Anytime there's anything with his head, this is his sixth documented concussion, and that is terrifying because we know that multiple concussions are what cause long-term problems in football players. Yeah. And you just hope that his brain, because remember, it's a brain bruise, that his brain was healed to a point that this doesn't have some of those cumulative effects that some of these concussions have. He's got two young daughters, and I think about all of that stuff first with Jordan, because
yeah.
I've developed a personal relationship with him. Not like we're best friends and hanging out, but like just he's a guy that I talk to and check in with, and I love when he brings his girls around and they're at camp, or sometimes they show up at the facility, and like you get to see him in dad mode, and it's very humanizing in that way.
Mm-hmm.
As the football side of it, I thought the hit was dirty. I don't think necessarily Keanu Neal is a dirty player, but you can have a dirty play while not being a dirty player. Like it's an unnecessary hit. He leads with the crown of his helmet. It's dangerous. It, even if it's not dirty, it's definitely dangerous. And it's dangerous for Reed, and it's dangerous for Neal. He could have snapped his own neck on that hit. It's ridiculous. He should have been thrown out of the game. I don't know if, he needs to be suspended necessarily, but if he is, like, I'm not gonna complain about it. He should be fined heavily. And from a football sense for the Redskins, like, I feel bad for them because they didn't do anything wrong. Jordan needed a little bit of time to play. They needed to evaluate this offense.
It seems like Jordan can't catch a break.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, it's not anything that he necessarily did wrong. You say, oh, he's injury prone. This stuff always happens. What was he supposed to do? He caught the ball and he got cheap shotted. And he's essential to their offense being successful. As we just said, like, they have one number one caliber target, and it's him. They have a bunch of twos and a bunch of threes, which is good because they have depth, but Jordan's the guy the offense runs through. And if he's not there, everything else becomes a lot harder. So you just hope from a football standpoint that he's ready to go week one and that this is relatively minor. But it also is a reminder that this is fragile, and one bad thing that doesn't have to be anyone's fault can result in a guy leaving. And, if that dude leaves, then everything becomes a lot harder for this football team.
Yeah. Staying with the offense, what do you think, how many running backs do you think they keep? I was kind of pleasantly surprised by what I saw from Piron last night.
Yeah, I mean, he needed a good night, and he had, I guess, a solid night. I don't know that he was anything special, but I think they keep four. The question becomes, who's the fourth? Because I think it was going to be Sean Wilson, who came in as the last guy. I think they actually signed him during camp, like with 2 or 3 days into Richmond. But he just showed up, and you're like, who's that dude? He's fast as hell. And he was making great plays in the return game. He was kind of turning into a little Chris Thompson clone. Obviously, no one does it like Chris, but, that third down type of back and getting him, with Geis's versatility, like, you got him and AP to take care of first and second down. And so they need that extra third down guy. And so Sean Wilson was making a case, and then he gets hurt, gets taken out by his own guy, and his ankle is screwed up. And now it's back open again. And whether it's P. Ryan, Byron Marshall, I think Craig Reynolds has had a really nice camp. Like, I think one of those guys winds up staying. And then the other question is, like, it comes down to special teams. Like, which one of those guys, unless you're just going to say, well, one of them's going to be inactive on game day. Well, that's not the point. You want a guy who can be an option for you, depending on the game. And P. Ryan has started to play special teams over the last year and a half. Reynolds plays special teams. Byron Marshall plays special teams in the return game, but we saw him as a disaster in coverage last year in the Jacksonville game where he tackled the wrong guy. So I don't know exactly how that plays out, but I think they wind up keeping four, and I think it's pretty open for who the fourth is going to be, and special teams is going to play a big part.
All right, PJ's going to be mad, but I'm squeezing in one more question, because I'm dying to know, what do you think about Josh Doctson, and does he make the team?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really tough. I think he does. Oh, like my prediction and my roster projection will have him on. I just don't know who I'm kicking off. There's eight guys for six spots. maybe seven at the receiver position. They're
loaded. It's a good problem to have.
Wise, yeah. It sucks because they're going to have to cut someone who's going to wind up on another team, probably. But I think they kind of have to play most likely scenario, and that's why I still think Robert Davis might wind up being the guy. The problem is he's made too many plays in the preseason. Even last night where he doesn't do anything as a receiver, he's right there as a gunner on both punt fumbles by the Falcons, recovers one of them, almost recovers the second one, but he helps cause those by his pressuring, and he's consistently winning as a gunner on the outside. So he's a guy that you want up on game day. He can provide you some speed on offense, and also could be a core special teams guy. So I don't know what they do. You know, Steven Sims, I thought was going to be the odd man out, but I think there's a little bit more of an internal push because he's really flashed, and they need a backup to Trey Quinn in the slot. So I don't know what they're going to do. I think maybe you put Sims on the practice squad and that's your play and you keep seven. But Doxon, they could just,
unless they could trade him and get something for him.
And that's a possibility too. And you know, unless they can just go, you want to know what? Doxon's the oldest one of these guys. We know what he is. He's fine, but he's not any better than any of these other guys, and he doesn't play special teams, so he's the one that's gone. It's
possible. Especially since they are loaded, but we'll have to see if another team's going to bite on that. All right, Craig, hopefully you're going to be chewing on something good since you already had some good meals in Atlanta.
I'll send you a picture of the chicken wings I just made in my air fryer.
Oh, man.
Actually, right, I won't, because that'd be cruel.
No, do it. Do it. It'll be good. All right, Craig Hoffman, thank you so much. Craig is driven by the summer sales event at Lindsay Ford and lindsayford.com. 0% financing, up to 130% off KBB for trades, and no payments until fall. You're going to love it at Lindsay, lindsayford.com. We're back on The Fan right after this. What is Dylan wearing? He changed his hair and everything.
We've had this like dread Jamaican hat thing in the studio for probably since we got here like 3 or 4 years ago.
I'm not going to lie. I was a little like, did someone else join us? Who is that? And then I realized that's your son, Dylan. Speaking of Dylan, should we tell his Darius Guy story? Or should we tease it and save it?
Yeah, I mean, we can do it. We got a short segment here.
He's excited. How old are you, Dylan? 13? All right. So PJ Elliott's son, Dylan, he had a very cool encounter at Redskins training camp out in Richmond. He had an opportunity to meet Darius Geis. What was that like, Dylan? He's not ready? He got shy. You're there? All right. We'll circle back. You think about your Darius Geis story. Well, I talk about how impressive Geis was last night. 1-800-636-1067. Who impressed you last night in that third preseason game? Who was hot? Who was not? And maybe who surprised you? Give me a call on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener line, 1-800-636-1067. For me, I was really impressed with Darius Geis. We saw a running back who was able to bring speed, vision, power. He really trusted himself. I know he mentioned that he talked to Dr. Andrews before about just getting his confidence and building that back up. Here's Geis after the game.
It's been a long time, bro. I knew it was something I needed. You know, I needed to get out there, you know, get my feet under me, get some contact to really see where I'm at. Because, you know, a lot of people throughout the past, you know, months and weeks, you know, always ask me, you know, how you feel? You feel healthy? Like, you know, to be honest, you can't really tell in practice because there's no contact. You're not getting tackled. All I'm doing is running straight ahead and cutting. You really know how you feel whenever you get hit. That's the main thing. So me getting out there, you know, getting my leg twist and turn and hit, you know, it really boosts that confidence, you know. So I feel like I'm ready.
Oh, yeah. He showed he was ready. He tweeted last night after the game like 4 smiley face emojis, and Dwayne Haskins retweeted that saying he is good. It was just an awesome sight for Redskins fans to see. I was also sitting on my couch with my fingers crossed, like, please don't get injured. Please don't get injured. Please don't get injured. I'm glad that Jay Gruden kept him in there as long as he did, because I think it was important for Geis to gain that confidence and really trust himself after coming off that ACL injury. But at the same time, yeah, my fingers were crossed. Didn't want to see anything happen there. So here's Geis on needing to get a little contact, and what he accomplished right out of the gate last night.
When I'm out there, I'm not really thinking about it. I'm just running, you know. It's more instinct than anything, you know, cutting, you know, running somebody over, like, you know, so I'm never really worried about a defender hitting me because I'm always trying to get the first contact.
Well, when it happened. What did it happen?
Nothing. Next play. I got up and it was, you know, next play. I don't really think about, you know, how I got hit, how hard I got hit. I'm just, you know, looking at the coaches waiting for the next signal.
All right. So his first run was a cutback. It was very impressive where he picked up 7 yards. Here's Geis after that run.
I mean, I don't really know how to put it, but when that corner came at me, you know, with the angle he took, I knew I had to give him an arm. You know, I knew I wasn't just going to juke him and, you know, shake him. So I knew I had to give him an arm, you know. And then the safety, you know, played him in college. They went to Florida. You know, I was, you know, I'm a little salty with Florida. So, you know, I had to give him a little shoulder, you know, because safeties, you know, they get big eyes when they see running backs on the sideline. You know, they feel like it's a, you know, open shot for him, you know, but not me. I'm ready, you know. So, you know, I put that shoulder down on him. Felt like a college run for me, for sure.
Geis on his second run, which was my favorite run, where he used the stiff arm and then lowered his shoulder into the Falcons' safety. Geis shredded the Falcons' defense on that run and really reminded us why the Redskins took him a year ago when he had that nice burst down the sideline. So that was my favorite run. Who impressed you last night? 1-800-636-1067. For me, my number one person, Darius Geis. He ended the night with 11 carries for 44 yards and was one of the players who really impressed me in that dress rehearsal game. But who impressed you? On the flip side, maybe who was disappointing? And then are there any pleasant surprises? 1-800-636-1067. So Darius Geis, 11 carries for 44 yards. He showed us glimpses of what we saw from him at LSU. Jay Gruden was asked about Geis's performance last night.
Yeah, I think he did good. You know, it was important to get him the ball. I wanted to get him quite a few touches, try to get him some rhythm, sweat, use it, hitting the ground, getting hit, tackled, protecting the football, get him some balls out of the backfield. So I think it was a productive night for him. You know, I think he looked like he was decisive in his cuts for the most part. Ran with some power at times. Moved the pile when there wasn't there. So wasn't anything there. So I was impressed. Just standing on the sideline. We'll go back and watch the film and see what it looks like.
All right. Jay Gruden was impressed. I was impressed. We heard some from some other fans earlier who were also impressed. PJ Elliott's son had a chance to meet Darius Geis. He signed his jersey in Richmond. I know that was an exciting opportunity for Dylan. Maybe he'll tell us that story later in the show, but we have to take a break because coming up next, Neil Greenberg, he is a geek, not a nerd, a stats geek for the Washington Post. He knows everything when it comes to fantasy football, and I know your drafts are coming up soon. We're going to dive into that with Neil Greenberg next. Welcome back to Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. You can also listen to us on the radio.com app. Some surprising yet unfortunate news today for Capitals star Evgeny Kuznetsov. We found out that he's suspended from international play for 4 years after he tested positive for cocaine. No word yet on if there will be any suspension from the NHL, but I asked the Associated Press reporter Stephen Wino, who covers the NHL and specifically the Capitals, what his take is on this situation.
I would say surprised, but after the video surfaced of him with that white substance a couple of months ago, he kind of can put the pieces together on the process of this. And even though the kind of statement or excuse was made that was last year in Vegas or this or that, it was pretty obvious that it was a current video and kind of what was going on there. Surprised just given the whole situation. I mean, these guys are very well paid and in good shape, and he's playing for his country at the World Championships. And I'm just looking now and wondering if the NHL is going to do a further investigation beyond what it's done so far. It's not a banned substance in the NHL, but whether he'll face further punishment than just the international ban.
So is the latest that Evgeny Kuznetsov has to meet with Commissioner Gary Bettman before training camp? Is that the latest before they decide if the NHL is going to take any disciplinary action, if any at all, on this?
Yes, and that'll be Kuznetsov's chance to kind of explain the situation, say, look, this is not going to happen again, those sort of things. And look, I don't believe he's going to be punished further than this. This is not something that the NHL has jurisdiction over because it's not a banned substance in the league itself. He did not test positive for a performance-enhancing drug under NHL testing. But, yeah, that's going to be a crucial meeting just for kind of him and the team and the league to kind of get all on the same page.
But at the same time, testing positive for cocaine, it could be a concern if there's something bigger going on here with him, if he, in fact, may need help or treatment or something like that.
Yes, and the league has said that he has sought help through the behavioral substances abuse program that the NHL and the NHLPA puts on. And the league has been and is their policy that they don't reveal when a player goes into that program unless there is a stage two of that where it's made public. Austin Watson and Nashville had that happen this past season. That's certainly the concern. And he's in that program now. He has a chance to kind of get through that without being disciplined for it. If it gets to stage two, then he gets suspended indefinitely. But that would now he's under the care of those doctors within that NHL and NHLPA program. Mm.
All right. Well, I hope everything is okay with Evgeny Kuznetsov. Certainly kind of surprising news today. Let's take a hard shift here and get to the Redskins, who beat the Falcons last night. What were your takeaways from that game?
The takeaway for me is the Jordan Reed concussion scare. We know his concussion history, and this is a guy who the Redskins can't afford not to have. Mm-hmm. And that's when you look at an offense that's really bereft of great playmakers and of skilled talent, that whoever starts a quarterback, whether it's Case Keenum or eventually Colt McCoy or Dwayne Haskins, you need Jordan Reed in there. And it wasn't that the result itself wasn't impressive. It's just the quarterbacks are kind of there. Neither one of these guys has really stood out. Colt McCoy is still dealing with the effects of that broken leg and the subsequent surgeries. And it's just we don't know any more about the Redskins right now than we did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, even before this third preseason game, I was thinking, gosh, it seems like there's going to be a lot of three and outs offensively for the Redskins again. We've seen that before. But then I thought, you know, Jordan Reed, he's healthy again. You know, the offense has got to go through him. And then the concussion protocol thing happens. And just unfortunate news all the way around, not just for the Redskins offense, but certainly for his health, too, because I think this is, what, his seventh concussion in as many years?
Yeah, this is at least his sixth concussion. And he had a bunch at Florida as well. And for a guy who hasn't been able to stay healthy, not that you're blaming him at all for the concussions, he's just had awful injury luck over the years. He had the shoulder, he had the toe, he had the ankle, he had the hip, he's had the concussion problems. And there are very few players on this team and really around the league who are as big a matchup nightmare as Jordan Reed. Mm-hmm. Linebackers are too slow to cover him, safeties are too small to cover him. And you're right, without him out there, Vernon Davis is fine, and Case Keenum and Vernon Davis have found some chemistry in training camp. Not the same thing, not the same effect that they can have. And if you're the Redskins, you need him out there. But more than anything, Jordan Reed and the trainers and the doctors there have to watch out for his long-term health after this many brain injuries.
Yeah. I hope he's going to be okay. Let's switch gears and talk about Darius Geis. First time we've really seen him in action since the ACL injury. Were you impressed?
It was a good start, yeah. I mean, what I'm impressed by is just his ability to get back this quickly. And it's only been 12 months, a little over 12 months since this injury, to be back to being cleared for contact and be able to play. That's what impresses me more than anything. And I like what they have what the Redskins have in Darius Geis. I do think ultimately he'll probably get more carries as long as he's healthy than Adrian Peterson does this year. We know what Peterson's done over his whole career, but young legs of Darius Geis, you're just hoping that he's able to stay healthy for his sake, for his career, that you don't have a re-injury. But the Redskins have, and we know the Trent Williams stuff, and Sua Cravens has talked about the medical staff, but the medical staff has certainly done a good job in keeping Geis on a timeline as fast as he wanted to go, They kept him out for the first two preseason games for a reason. They've limited his contact that he's been able to face. And you hope after all of that, that he's just able to stay on the field and stay healthy.
Yeah. Who else impressed you in that dress rehearsal game?
Wes Martin, a little bit at left guard, just because he's a rookie who you're expecting to start, because I can't imagine this team plays Eric Flowers. I don't even, after some of the mistakes last night and just his career in general and kind of where he's been and some of the problems he's caused, honestly, in New York, that it may not be worth the effort. That if you got a Lewis Pierce Knocker as a draft pick, as a backup guy, you got a Hugh Thornton making a comeback to potentially play there. But Wes Martin, he's making strides for a smart guy who is a rookie and a guy who wasn't even invited to the combine. He's strong. It's the question of how quickly he can learn, because without Trent Williams at left tackle, they're going to need Brandon Scherff and Chase Roullier and Morgan Moses and whoever starts at left guard to be much better than expectations. Otherwise, the running game is not going to be able to get going at all, and the quarterbacks are not going to be able to have any time whatsoever to get rid of the ball.
Would you be surprised if we don't see Trent Williams back in burgundy and gold?
No, no, at this point, not at all. And I'm sort of with Adrian Peterson on this, and Peterson spoke with Trent Williams just before training camp, saying, I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't show up. I mean, nothing at this point, given how weird the situation has been, would shock me in any way. But if I'm putting money on this right now, I don't think Trent Williams plays another game for the Redskins. I just don't. And that's an educated guess of sorts, based on everything that we've heard out there about his situation and how he feels about this team. But it's a question of who's more stubborn, Bruce Allen or Trent Williams. And ultimately, at this point, Trent Williams has made a lot of money. I think he's more stubborn.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like Trent's very happy with Bruce either, so that may not help the situation at all. Let's take a look at the receivers. There's been some talk about Josh Doctson maybe not making the team. How many receivers do you think they keep, and is Doctson one of them?
I think, Aaron, it's six or seven, but I don't think Josh Doctson is one of them. And the Redskins have tried to trade Josh Doctson the past couple of years. He has not lived up to the expectations of being a 16th over, of being a first-round pick so far. And there are talented guys behind him. They want to see what Cam Sims can do. They want to see what Kelvin Harmon can do. Terry McLaurin is already a better receiver than Josh Doctson right now. And Paul Richardson's a speed threat. But there's a bunch of guys there. Trey Quinn in the slot certainly is there. They've got a lot of young, cheaper talent. They already didn't pick up his fifth-year option. The writing's on the wall for that. And when you get down to a 53-man roster and you're making choices for who do you need to keep in terms of special teams and guys who are going to be active on game day, Josh Doctson doesn't give the coaches or the front office any reason to keep him other than the pedigree of being a first-round pick.
Yeah, where are you at with Paul Richardson? I just haven't been a big fan of him, and I don't know. It just seems like quarterbacks, who no matter who it is, they just don't find him. What are you expecting from him?
You know what I'm expecting? Him to get injured again. That's the problem. I think when he is healthy and he's 100%, he's a good target for this offense. He's not quite DeSean Jackson. He's not going to stretch the field like that. But you need someone going down the field. You need someone making the defense think about a deep threat.
Yeah.
And that's not, you don't have that if Paul Richardson is hurt. Cam Sims, I guess, can eventually be that. But they have so many different receivers, but none who can do what Paul Richardson does. Mm-hmm. And that would be my fear for the Redskins passing game. Not only that Case Keenum doesn't have as strong an arm as Dwayne Haskins, but also that they don't really have anybody to go deep unless Paul Richardson's there on the field in the lineup.
Yeah, good point. Let's talk about the defensive side of the ball. Landon Collins, that was fun to watch in that third preseason game. What was your assessment of finally getting to see Landon Collins in burgundy and gold?
He's a nice player, and we knew this already from his Giants career, that he's a playmaker and can hit, and he's not just a box safety. He can cover, and he can stop the run. And there was playmaking opportunities he had in training camp and had streaks of days of where he went consecutive days with interceptions. He's a playmaker, and I think this defense can be really good. I don't know if it can be good enough to keep the Redskins in games to where the offense, if they're going three and out, defense is going to get very tired and the offense may not be able to put up a whole lot of points. But when you talk about a secondary where beyond that, Landon Collins, the safeties aren't all that strong on this team, but you have Josh Norman, you have Quentin Dunbar, Fabian Moreau, even Jimmy Moreau looks like a player at this point as a young guy who's a late draft pick. This defense with a front like Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, Matt Ioannidis, and Tim Settle, and even if Cale Brantley is able to get on the field, this could be a really good defense. And Landon Collins is a smart signing. I think it would have been even better if they would have been able to get HaHa Clinton Dix back to play with him. But absent that, Landon Collins is the kind of playmaker that fans should be excited about, just like they were about Josh Norman a few years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really fun to watch him Thursday night. The quarterback position, I hear fans still wanting Dwayne Haskins as the starter week one, which I don't agree with. But some people have even said, you know, if it's close between Keenum and Haskins, start the rookie. I just think you start Keenum. Where are you at on this debate?
I don't think you can start Dwayne Haskins. I don't think he's ready. The plan the entire offseason was not to just throw the kitchen sink at him like they did with Robert Griffin and kind of get him prepared for playing right away. If they would have maybe done that and had a limited set of plays for him to learn and get him ready to start, maybe you'd have the ability to do that. But they've thrown the entire playbook at him right now, and it's going to take some time for him to get used to managing a game and knowing the playbook and understanding the offense. And even though it's not the exciting thing to do, the smart thing to do is Case Keenum starting a quarterback in Philadelphia in week one.
Yeah, it seems like his footwork, too, might need a little work.
It does, and that'll come with time. I mean, the offense he played with, you know, didn't have to do a whole lot of that, and that's what. And even though he put up all those numbers, he's going to have to adjust to those aspects of the pro game. He'll get there. I do think Dwayne Haskins has the tools and the smarts to be a starting NFL quarterback, but rushing him right now could hurt his long-term development, and that's as much as Jay Gruden wants to save his job, and his job could hinge on the season. I don't think I don't think it's smart at all to rush Dwayne Haskins out there for at least the first 5 weeks of the season, if not longer.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. Do you think we see him at all? Because in my opinion, we don't. And that means Case Keenum's doing a good enough job so that we can be patient with Haskins.
Yeah, and it's going to, if this team starts 1-4, which it looks like it very well could happen, the question is going to be how much patience does the organization have with Case Keenum, if he's healthy, or if Colt McCoy is ready to make the move there. I think the first move winds up being to Colt McCoy, not to Dwayne Haskins, as long as Colt's healthy. We don't know how long it's going to take for him to get back from that leg injury, but even if Case Keenum's not doing well, it's going to have to be how much of it is a knee-jerk reaction to want to go to Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do they keep three quarterbacks?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And the only question I would have on that is whether you start McCoy on the physically unable to perform list, and then you'd have to miss the first 6 weeks of the season, which would then give Dwayne Haskins at least the ability to dress on game days, be the backup quarterback, and kind of have that, hey, if he has to come in for an injury, he's coming in. Not the situation you want to see, but at least he'd be on the sideline and kind of getting some of that valuable experience.
All right, Stephen Wino of the Associated Press, thank you so much for calling in. I always love catching up with you.
Thanks, Aaron. Talk to you soon.
All right, that was Stephen Wino of the Associated Press. Coming up next, more on Case Keenum, Jordan Reed, and Landon Collins next on The Fan.
Keenum on 3rd and 7 on the slant. This one is caught by Reed. Two flags. Now a third is Reed's helmet popped off after he picked up the first down.
All right, we're rolling on The Fan. This is Overtime. I'm Aaron Hawksworth. The show is cruising by. A couple more hours left. Thanks for sticking with me. I know you've got other options. I really appreciate it on this Friday night. What I don't appreciate is that hit last night that Jordan Reed suffered. Now he is in the league's concussion protocol. Reed missed the first pass, which you normally never see. I think people were shocked when they saw him miss that pass. Got the second one, but he was hit hard. Jordan Reed took a helmet-to-helmet hit that knocked his headgear off. In my opinion, there is no need for those types of hits at all. Here's some sound from Gruden when he was asked about it after the game last night.
I think on that hit, he developed concussion symptoms. They went into normal protocol, and he was symptomatic. So we followed the protocol, and there we have it.
All right, so that was Jay Gruden when he was asked about Jordan Reed in the league's concussion protocol program. Hopefully he's going to be okay. Reed is being evaluated right now. Just another setback for someone who has experienced a history of head injuries. So this is scary, not only for the Redskins offense moving forward, but for Reed as a person, as a father. This is his sixth documented head injury, concussion. So this is scary stuff. Jay Gruden was asked why Keanu Neal wasn't ejected after that.
No, they got the 15-yard penalty, but no ejection. So I didn't notice it being that bad. I'll have to go back and watch it. But, you know, we got the flag, so.
All right, well, we can only hope that Jordan Reed is going to be okay. He caught a 10-yard pass from Case Keenum when Neal lowered his head with a violent helmet-to-helmet hit. These are the kind of hits that you do not want to see in the preseason. There's just no place for that. Should he have been ejected? We just heard from Jay Gruden. It's unclear, but Neal was flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct, and Reed had to go to the locker room right after that as a result of that play. So that's the update on Reed tonight. We're going to get you started with a little fantasy football. When is your draft coming up? It's got to be soon, right? Neil Greenberg of the Washington Post, he's a stats geek. He's not a nerd. There's a difference. We're going to get to that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.